Pebble City Council meeting, February 10th, 2014. If you'd all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. And Mark, would you, Mark Snyder, would you lead us tonight?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1.3 on our agenda is the roll call. We have Eugene Bain has a, he had a prior commitment tonight. He asked if he could be excused. Gina Doro, I believe, is out of the country, and she has been excused. The rest of us are present, Mark Snyder, Dan Deaver, Ken Johnson, John Lawless, and Corey Everett, and myself, the mayor. So with that, I would entertain a motion to excuse Gina Doro and Eugene Bain for tonight's meeting.
I'll second it.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on our agenda, 1.4, is citizen input. I, at this time, will accept input from any citizen regarding any subject that pertains to the city of Ofella. If they have any information that they want to bring to the council or any concerns that they want to express, please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. And you can come to the, our lectern and you can give testimony. Is there any testimony at this time? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to item number 2, approval of agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve our agenda. All those for tonight, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is number 3, consent agenda, approving our city council minutes, workshop minutes, accounts payable, and payroll and related expenses. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Make that motion.
Mark. Have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we will move to item 4.1 on our agenda, public hearing. This is a public hearing of the annexation and zoning of the, it's a request from the R.A. Hampton LLC. And at this time, at 7:03 p.m., I would like to reopen the meeting that was continued from our last city council meeting. And this meeting is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the petition to annex filed by Naomi Hampton. So at this time, Daryl Piercy, the Othello's building planning official, is going to give us a report.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, for the record, Daryl Piercy, city planner. Again, before you for consideration and a public hearing which is being conducted is for the consideration of the annexation of property owned by Hampton LLC. As you may recall, at the last public hearing, it's required under state law for us to conduct 2 public hearings in order to assign zoning to any property that you're considering for annexation. So tonight's hearing, public hearing, will meet those statutory requirements under state law for the process. So from this point forward, you can choose to take whatever direction you wish to in regards to the annexation and any requests that you might have for any additional information. But a third public hearing would not be a requirement under state law. Some new developments have occurred since our last meeting. As you may recall, in the discussion of the C1 zoning that was being requested, there was at least some concern expressed in regards to what uses might be allowed under the C1 zoning, and specifically what that might mean in terms of its relationship to this property, to the adjacent school, and other interactions that it may have with the surrounding residential neighborhood. At the last public hearing, we were not aware of the potential owner, purchaser for this property and the reason why it was coming before the city with the request to be annexed in the rezone of C1. Since that last public hearing, we have learned that the Columbia Basin Health Association is looking to purchase this 20-acre parcel on 14th Street to develop and operate a health campus on this site. And they have indicated through discussions both with their representative and with staff that they would be willing to enter into an agreement with the city that would very specifically identify the uses that would be allowed on the site should it be annexed. And in discussions both with our city attorney and with other planning officials, we determined that the best approach to be able to narrow those uses down to an acceptable scope is through the use of a development agreement in which the city and the potential the new purchaser could enter into that would clearly outline and define the level of activity and the types of uses that would be allowed on the property should it be annexed and receive a C1 zoning. Through that development agreement process, we can get very specific in terms of the campus layout, the types of uses that are intended, all of the access points, the requirements of the applicant in regards to issues that may need to be addressed, such as road improvements. All of those elements can be at least addressed or discussed through the development agreement to the point where we believe that the council could be very comfortable with the limitation in terms of the scope of uses that could be included within the site. One of the questions that has come up in regards to that is if this property were to be purchased by CBHA and were to be annexed and a development agreement were to be entered into, what would happen if CBHA chose at a later date not to develop the property and sell it off? And would the C1 zoning then be applicable to the new purchaser? And in fact, we could tailor the development agreement in any manner we choose to with the cooperation of the applicant in this case, and very specifically discuss what the zoning would revert back to in the event that the CBHA did not follow through with their plans. And in this case, I think the comfort level of having that zoning revert back to a residential zone, which is more in keeping with the other uses in the vicinity, if we were not sure what specific use was going to occur on that property, might be an appropriate path. And again, that could be addressed in a development agreement in terms of potential future use of that property should the CBHA decide not to move forward. So based on that, we brought that information forward to you. We've contained in your packet a letter from the CBHA that's indicated that they are the purchaser of the property, that their intent is to develop this as a health campus. And again, through the discussions with them, they're agreeable to the idea of entering into this development agreement. So we feel that provides an additional option to the council in considering this request. Be happy to respond to any questions or at a later date after you hear public testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Darrell.
Thank you.
This time I would like to call on Todd Bauer to will represent the owner of the property and develop R.A. Hampton LLC. Todd?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I personally appreciate that. I'm an attorney. Ari Butt Hampton LLC is the actual record owner of the parcel at issue. The sole shareholder of that parcel is Naomi Hampton. With me today, I have the officers of that LLC here to engage in public comment or answer any questions. Linda Bowers is the manager of the LLC, and Sandy Dodge is the secretary. And I'd ask the council to look to myself or the officers for any speaking authority on behalf of the LLC and to us alone if that's possible. As to discussions about the future development of this parcel, I know Naomi Hampton appreciates that this is for the betterment of the community. It's really for the best interest of the community, and I know that you as public officers are keenly aware of that, and I really appreciate that, and I know my grandmother really wants me to be a part of that. We think CBHA is a great fit for this parcel for the specific reasons that Mr. Pearson identified. I would ask that you ownership be represented in discussions about a development agreement at that property before it's actually approved by any public body. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I sincerely appreciate everyone's time. And I appreciate that I'm looking at the familiar faces.
Is there any questions of the council for Mr. Bowers? No? Hearing none? Did you have one, Deb?
No, it just clears up the questions of what the council was concerned about. And I think between Mr. Piercy and Mr. Hampton, they pretty well, not Mr. Hampton, Bauer. Sorry.
Yeah. I did have a chance to look over the minutes from the last meeting, and I do appreciate the concerns as expressed. And in fact, I think the LLC would join in those concerns. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of the public comment on that. And I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. Okay, at this time, I'll ask for public testimony with regard to this process that we're going through for annexation and zoning. If you would like to be recognized and speak to the issue at hand in this public hearing, I ask you to raise your hand, come to the lectern, identify yourself. First, identify whether you're for or against the proposed annexation, and then explain your position. Okay? Is there any public comment regarding this annexation at this time? Hearing none. Is there any additional comments from the staff?
Nothing further unless you have any questions.
Okay. Is there any questions or comments the council wants to engage in at this particular time?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, then I will close the public hearing at 7:12 p.m. I'd entertain a motion.
I make a motion to annex the property.
I think it's a little more specific. What motion you need?
Approve the annexation request and assign a zoning designation.
And direct staff to
proceed.
Proceed with the process.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want us to read it, Daryl, as you laid it out? Maybe you could help us here just a moment, please.
Well, just to be clear, I believe that the motion includes the direction for staff to develop a development agreement.
Yes.
With the applicant and the prospective purchaser of the property, and bring the development agreement back to council for consideration and approval as part of the final annexation process.
Yes. That's the motion you want to make?
Yes.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made by John Lawless, seconded by Dan Deaver, to direct staff to prepare a development agreement with CBHA and the property owners to restrict the use of the site to those medical campus needs of CBHA and bring the final annexation documents and development agreement back to the council for final consideration. Is there any discussion on the motion on the floor? Hearing none, I will call for the question. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So, to summarize, if I may, the property owners, which you requested, Todd, would be included in the development agreement along with CBHA. That will be worked out between yourselves, CBHA, and Daryl. It'll be approved by our city attorney and then brought back to the city council, and we will then finalize the process. Yes, thank you. Okay. The Next item on our agenda, 4.2, is a sales tax review. This is an informational presentation by the City Finance Officer, Spencer Williams. Spencer?
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. As the mayor just stated, this is informational for you to know. The city receives sales taxes, and a portion of those sales taxes go to the general fund, and a portion of those sales taxes go to the street fund. There's been some questions about the portion of those sales taxes that go to the street fund, and so I prepared a presentation tonight that looks at those funds that are due to the street fund and what actually went to the street fund and what other funds went into the street fund to help fund the street projects of the city. The city receives two pieces of sales tax monies every month from the Department of Revenue. It's $1 figure and or $1 figure that we get from the Department of Revenue on our monthly statement. And a 0.5% of that goes towards our general fund, and the other, an optional 0.5% sales tax, goes into the street fund for street projects for the city. And so I've prepared some information tonight that looks at that piece, just the street piece, the revenues that went to the street projects of the city. When I was putting this chart together, I went back to the financial database that the city keeps, our financial records, to get some of this information, and along with some information from the Department of Revenue, just to make sure that the information that I have and I'm presenting to you is correct. So I went through, and just to walk through the headings here, this first column right here, this is the optional 0.5% sales tax that goes to the street fund, or that we get every month that is supposed to go to the street fund. For these years, 2007 through 12, those 6 years right there, we found that during those 6 years, not all of that 0.5% sales tax revenue went to the street fund. And so I have two different sides of this graph that I'm showing you. The first side shows the money that should have gone to the street fund and the money that actually went to the street fund and the difference there. Then the other side, we'll get to the other half of this here in a sec. Both of these sides are important to see the whole picture of what's going on with the funding and what's going to our street projects and what's not and all those kinds of questions. So if we run through just 2007, for example, we received $543,000 from the Department of Revenue in the sales tax that goes to the street fund. $543,000. The actual amount that went towards the street fund was $460,000. So there's another $83,000 of these dollars that didn't go to the street fund at this point. And so you can see that for each one of the years as you go down. For each one of the years, you can see there's the 0.5% sales tax is higher than the actual amount that went to the street fund. When I started, I said the sales tax comes in as $1 amount. I don't have 2006 up here, but if you look at 2006 and the actual amount, or the amount that was supposed to go to the street fund versus the actual amount that did, it was $464,000 something. It was almost exactly the $460,000. For some reason, that $460,000 figure was just carried forward as a budgeted figure. Instead of changing, sales taxes are going to be different every year, and so naturally we would see, typically they'll be increasing, so naturally we would expect to see a slight increase in this number as we get closer and closer to today. Anyway, so we can look through the differences here. So from 2007 to 2012, there is a total of $860,000 in the 0.5-cent sales tax money that didn't go to the street fund. That's half of the picture. The other half of the picture over here shows other dollars that came from other city funds, other available funds that went towards city street projects. So if we continue with our very first year here, 2007, we got to this point. The street fund was shorted, the $83,000 from the sales tax dollars here. Also, that very same year, the city transferred dollars or used other city dollars to the amount of almost $521,000 that we transferred to the street projects. So if we put both of those numbers together, the street fund was shorted $83,000. We had an additional $521,000 that went towards street projects. For that year, we have a total over making this figure here right. We had an additional $437,000 of other city funds, mainly utility tax dollars, but some general fund and some different things that went towards the street projects. And so you can see each one of these years that the street fund was shorted at sales tax revenue. That is something that happened. To round that out, though, we can see over that same time, that the city was shorted $860,000, the city also used other available funds to the tune of $3.2 million to go towards street projects of the city. Do you have any questions about just this piece up here? I'm only including 2007 to 2012 because those are the only years where we have this error. If you go out to 2013, it was corrected, and 2006 and before it was non-existent. There were a couple other things that I wanted to mention. The state auditor's office came a year ago, and during their audit, this is one of the things that they looked at. They wanted to see were we diverting this money and what exactly was going on. They agreed that we didn't comply with our city code in transferring that half of percent sales tax to the street fund like we're supposed to. Upon their, which we agree with, this clearly shows that. Their recommendation to the city, though, because we weren't violating state or federal laws in doing this, their recommendation to the city was to either change our practice, so change our practice right here to match the code, or change the code to match our practice. Just do one or the other. This is a local issue, so let's just be consistent. That was ultimately what they wanted us to do. So starting with 2012, in late 2012, when we were building the budget for the 2013 year, that's when we actually made the change. So we built that correction into the 2013 budget, and we did the same here for the 2014 year. But that's really just a snapshot of what happened and what the city did to address the error here, and also at the same time to show the other funds that we put towards the street projects. So it's pretty safe to say that the street projects of the city didn't suffer due to this, due to what happened over on this side of the graph. But that's kind of it in a nutshell. I have a document very similar to the agenda memo that is also included in Board Docs tonight that I printed up, and I included this graph here that we can put in the city corner. So hopefully that can clear up some questions there and just get all the information out there so everybody knows what happened.
Very good.
That's all.
Okay. Mike Crozier.
There's one question that's not been answered here. this transfer of street projects from non-street dollars. What's the source of all this money? Isn't that the utility tax that you told everybody you're going to use to apply to streets anyway? So isn't stealing dollars out of this account over here and financing it with stuff that you went to the public when you asked them to furnish it for you for streets over here really robbing Paul to pay Paul? That's my question. But I'd like to know what the source of these dollars is, because I'm pretty sure it's mostly the utility tax, that when the utility tax was passed, half of it was supposed to go for street improvements.
Spencer, are you comfortable answering that?
Yes. Yeah, you're right in that the utility tax, most of the sources of those revenues are from utility tax dollars. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The utility tax dollars are, there are two different rules that we follow in the city code when we're using utility tax dollars. One is 50% of the revenue that comes into that fund goes to the general fund for the general purposes of the city. So there's that piece. The other piece, all the remaining dollars are to be used for capital projects of the city that are $25,000 or more. So large capital projects of the city. So each one of those dollars came from, that's what the code says and that's what we do.
Okay, so we, to collect a city utility tax, we issued an ordinance we enacted an ordinance to enact the utility tax, right? So in that ordinance, it says 50% will go to the street fund.
50% will go to the general
fund. But the other 50%, it says for capital projects, does it not?
Yes.
It doesn't say it's going to the street fund.
Correct.
Okay, there's your answer.
Oh, yes, but when you were originally sold this, it was so you could fix the driveway. And that was put in those capital projects.
Okay, but the ordinance, Mike.
Yes, I understand. But our question was originally that the original plan of this was, where did that $860,000 go? What was it invested in? What did it pay for? That was our original question. And this does not address that question.
You want to answer that, Spencer?
Yes. When I started my presentation, I said that we receive our monthly sales tax from the Department of Revenue. We get one number. Half of that goes, the way it works now, half of that goes to the general fund. The other half goes to the street fund. Before this, back to 2012, 1/12, every month, 1/12 of $460,000 went to the street fund, and everything else went to the general fund. Everything else went to the general fund that didn't go to the street fund. It's one of those two places. And so the difference, that $860,000, went to the general fund. The other $3.2 million that went towards street projects, that came from a variety of different sources. The main one was utility tax dollars, which is an appropriate use for those funds. Then others came from reserve funds or the general fund, other things like that.
Thank you, Spencer. Yes?
That still doesn't really answer the question. We asked specifically what it was spent on.
Okay, so to answer that.
The general fund is like dropping things into a big black hole. It's compressed. Nobody knows what it was. And so we asked for itemized accounting what that was actually spent on.
Okay, so the $860,000, as explained, went into the general fund, and it's divided by year up there for your benefit. So each year, for instance, 2007, if the general fund budget was $5 million and we transferred $83,321, you would divide $83,321 by the $5 million, and then you would divide that by every single item that the general fund spent. So basically, you do understand what happened to it, Mike. It went into the general fund, and it just became a part of the big, larger fund. So you can't itemize and say that $83,000 went towards the purchase of a new police car, because if we did buy a police car that year, it would be $83,321 divided by whatever the general fund was, and that percentage went towards the police car, that percentage went towards the salaries of the city staff, that percentage went. So honestly, it that's how you would determine it, and so it just went into the budget at large. But I think that the city's answered the question sufficiently.
In the case of your police car, if you bought a police car 1 year and didn't buy a police car the other year, obviously the increase in funds went to the additional marginal costs, which were not in the baseline year.
But still, we're not going to account for every item of the 176, or the 83,000 that year. We're going to account for as a percentage of the budget. That's where it went.
Yeah, we were just interested in how much went into the papers and salary.
As you know, that's public record.
Yeah.
So, so anyway, yes, you already have your answer. So I think we've answered your questions.
Yeah.
Is there any other questions the council has of Spencer and his presentation?
It shows how much more we do supplement the street fund with our general budget and other funds, and it does show how much more of a need we need, because the more the street fund digs into our general fund, we need to figure out different ways to supplement that.
So in addition, the matters were communicated to the state auditor's office, who investigated. Their conclusion in writing to the city was we didn't correctly apply our code. They recommended we either correct the practice or revise our code to support the current practice. With that was their answer to the error that the city had made. And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm comfortable that the city has satisfied its disclosure requirements, and we've been above board with now at this point with the community, what happened to those dollars, how much it was, and Spencer has been so kind as to spend time to figure out how much we, in addition, supplemented those street funds so the community can see that the Othello City Council still continues to make streets a priority in the community. Okay. Thank you, Spencer. Is there anything anybody else would like to add? Then let's move on. Item 4.3. We have an extraterritorial agreement for sewer service for Mr. Librado Camacho. And I believe we have a staff report from Becky. Oh, from Spencer, sorry.
Yeah, I've got that for you. We were cleaning up some old contracts for the city, just making sure that we had all our T's crossed and I's dotted, and we found a contract that we didn't have for some sewer services outside of the city limits. When someone lives outside the city limits, they can still enter into an agreement with the city for us to provide those services. And we found this one gentleman didn't have a contract on file for him and his property. This piece of property, at one point, we did have a contract on file for this piece of property. That contract had a 25-year life, and it expired just recently. I'm not exactly sure when it expired. It wasn't in the too distant past, though. And here we've drafted up a new contract with Mr. Camacho to provide sewer services for him on his piece of property, and he's come in, he signed it, and at this time we're asking for the council to approve the mayor to sign the contract on behalf of the city to finalize the contract. On right before I stop, though, on the agenda memo, there's one. Here, let me bring up the agenda memo real quick. One error down here towards the end. When someone receives utility services outside the city, they pay 1.5 times the rate, 150%. And so here under budget, we will continue to receive the sewer revenue, and the offset to that is we'll continue to provide the sewer service at the rate of 150% for the sewer outside of city limits, not inside. That was just a typo right there.
So my understanding is that his septic in the past has, which is why they has failed, and so that's why they wanted to hook on to city utility. And now that the property has been sold, we want to enter into this agreement with the new property owner,
with
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Had you been billing the property owner all along?
Yeah.
And he's continued to pay?
Yeah.
So there's a fiduciary obligation of some sort to continue?
So we're still providing the service. He's still paying for the service.
There was no loss of service, but we were receiving?
Correct.
All right.
And we're just going to formalize the agreement. And I have a question of our city attorney, Catherine. You're fine with this arrangement?
Defined in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. So with those corrections, is there any questions that the city council has of staff or our city attorney? Okay. We'd like to make a motion.
I'll make that motion.
The extraterritorial utility extension agreement covenant running with the land and power of attorney with Mr. Librado Camacho?
Yes.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion? We have a motion made and seconded. Do we have any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Spencer. Becky. Number five on our agenda is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the city council tonight? Hearing none, is there any new business that needs to come before the Othello City Council tonight? Hearing none, I will again remind the City Council that a week from this Friday is the annual Chamber of Commerce banquet. The theme is honoring the trucking industry in our community, and I encourage you all to attend. Take your wife out. It's one of the main social events, business social events of our community.
So what's the date?
The 21st, Friday the 21st.
And where's it at?
It's at the Bethel Church, their, where they have, this was the old Sprouse Rights. Yeah. Their event center. Yeah.
Okay, so in the old Sprouse Rights?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. If there's no further business then, I would like to adjourn this meeting tonight.